I go back only three CEOs, Randy Middlebrook, Dave Ressler, and Dan Bonk. And I think, you know, Dave Ressler should be the standard to which we look at for filling our next CEO position. You know, while he wasn't perfect, I think he did an incredible job. And I guess probably the better way to answer that question is what am I looking for in a new CEO? And there's a lot of things that I think are important. Probably the most important thing, though, for the board is to hire the CEO that can come in there and run the hospital so the board doesn't have to, and allow the CEO to execute the vision of the board. With that in mind, I think that our next CEO needs to definitely have a big background in operations, something we noted most recently. That we definitely need a CEO that has the understanding that can be involved in the intimate day-to-day operations of the hospital, that's also involved with medical staff issues also. So we need that. I think we need somebody that has an understanding of what critical access hospital is. And most hospitals in this country are not, but critical access hospitals operate under a whole different framework, regulations and rules, and being reimbursed. And it's important to have a CEO with that understanding. I think just as important, we need a CEO who sort of understands Aspen. And it's important for somebody who wants to come into this community and integrate, but also understands that Aspen is everything from the affluent to people not so affluent, and understanding all the nuances that are associated with that, and so that you can lead the hospital in a way that totally understands our community and delivers to what the community's expectations are. And then finally, I think it would be important to get a CEO that has some non-for-profit experience. A lot of hospitals operate on trying to make as much profit as possible, and our vision and mission statement for our hospital is to provide extraordinary care, and sometimes those can be competing interests. So it's important that our new CEO comes in wanting to make sure that we're focusing on safety and providing great care, and not necessarily so much on the bottom line.
You are not on the board right now, right?
No, I served on the board back in 2004 and 2008. And I don't know if you were here, but that was when the hospital was really struggling. I was elected to the board. We brought in Dave Ressler. Dave Ressler brought in his team, and we went from financial uncertainty to, you know, where the hospital is now, enjoying some great financial successes. And as a result of that, able to try and execute its strategic plan and its vision.
And you mentioned learning that the CEO needs to have a good grasp of hospital operations. So were you did that as a physician then?
Not only as a physician, but as just a member of the organization, that the CEO isn't involved in the day-to-day operations or doesn't have an operational background, it tends to hurt the organization because he doesn't have full understanding and oversight of his organization. You know, contrasting that with the financial side of things, I think we've got great leadership on the financial side. Terry Collins, the former CFO, is the interim CEO. The people underneath him have a great grasp of the finances. There's a finance committee that oversees the finances of the hospital. That's not the weak link in the hospital right now. And so I think what we really need is more of an operational emphasis in our next CEO, less so on the financial side.
What do you see the greatest challenges facing AVH and healthcare? I know this is a ginormous question.
Yeah, that is a loaded question. Obviously, finding a new CEO is at the top of that list, but moving next on the list for AVH, I would have to say, is probably expanding our medical staff and the services that we provide, and along those lines, just start strengthening our physician and clinical partnerships. When I joined the medical staff 17 years ago, we actually had more specialists and more doctors on staff than we do now. And while we're adding some of the subspecialties now, we still aren't back to where we were. And I think it's necessary that we get there so that we can give this community what they need, what they want, also to prevent people from having to drive out of the valley, and finally to allow the hospital to, you know, be more competitive in the marketplace. For instance, we have lost plastic surgery out of the valley. We have a plastic surgeon here, but he takes his business out of the valley. We no longer have an ophthalmologist or an ENT. We have recruited a couple, and they are coming here in the near future. Likewise, when I was on the board, we had a vision. Can't tell you the reason why it hasn't been executed, but I think these are things that we can bring to our community. We had the vision that we can capitalize on the name of Aspen, and maybe be a place that people would want to come and do executive physicals. I've always had the desire to explore the possibility of not only having Western medicine represented at the hospital, but also, where it makes sense, bring in sort of the mind, body, spirit, Eastern philosophy. Also at the top of that list, though, I think that we're not present in the Mid-Valley to the extent that we need to be. And from a competitive point of view, that's not been helpful to the hospital, but also in serving our patients, I think we need to have a bigger presence in the Mid-Valley. The hospital is beginning to develop some clinical partnerships. We're moving to an electronic medical record, and we're joining with the University of Colorado, and we're going to be their first hospital that's not part of their system that we're going to basically piggyback into their electronic medical record system. That's a huge deal. Let's say we have a patient that goes into their system, they're going to have access to the patient's records through us and vice versa. It's also allowing the hospital to expand in a clinical relationship. So hospital is actually looking to start developing some subspecialty clinics here in the Valley, and that'll keep people from having to drive over to Denver. And so they're going to be bringing in, for starters, a rheumatologist and an endocrinologist. And my hope is that we just keep building that program. And then on the further clinical side, this is going to allow us to send our nurses and our ancillary staff out to Denver to do some extra training where we're not getting those experiences here.
You mentioned reimbursement payments at the beginning of that answer.
Certainly, reimbursements are a big deal nationally. What's affecting us is a couple things. One is seeing more and more people going off of private insurance, either into Medicaid or to Medicare as people get older, and that certainly affects reimbursement. So the hospital's got to be nimble and be ready to change with that. Obamacare has affected the way healthcare delivery is delivered, but it also affects reimbursement. So the hospital definitely needs to, be on top of that. And it's important to have a member on the board that understands that. And I would say most of the competitors really don't have an intimate understanding of the national issues or the local issues affecting our hospital at this time.
If you were elected, could you be that person who is an intimate understanding of reimbursements, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's only, with the exception of Mindy Nagel, who's running again, Dr. Barry Mink, he and I actually went onto the board together back in 2004. He's stepping down after doing that for 12 years, and just he's already retired out of medicine several years ago. And he actually approached me, and I think he and members of the community and the medical staff and the staff at the hospital appreciate the service that I provided back in 2004 and 2008 and wanted to see me step back up and fill in Barry's void and bring that knowledge and experience back to the board.
Keeping that in mind, how would fund a community criticism about $100 million plus expansion not providing any new services?
First of all, I would say that the expansion was well overdue. It had been 1977 since we had a new hospital, and so in doing the expansion, it's really just bringing us up to contemporary standards. So that expansion was totally necessary, but I wouldn't say there aren't new services. I mentioned several to you that I want to see brought here. We are bringing in the subspecialists. We're looking to develop a breast program at the hospital. So there are some new services being brought to the hospital, but in large part is bringing the size of the facility up to where it needed to be. But we are going to be adding services, and I'd like to see the hospital adding even more services.
As far as the board, what's the role of the board in day-to-day management of the facility and organization?
The board shouldn't be involved in the day-to-day operations of the hospital. And unfortunately, back when I went on the board in 2004, and most recently, the board had to get involved more than it should. It was necessary. I would say that if you hire the right CEO for the job and he gets the right team in, then the role of the board is to provide vision for the executive team, and the executive team's job is going to go out and execute that vision. And then the board's only other responsibility is oversight that the administration and the medical staff are doing this job, so that the administration is executing the vision, that they're indicating financial viability, and that the board's also responsible for the quality of the hospital, and they delegate that primarily to the medical staff, but they still oversee that. So those are the duties of the board.
You keep referring to the board having to get involved more recently, and I'm curious if you're referring to what happened with Dan Bonk in kind of a practical way, or if you're saying there was some sort of actual failure of...
No, I'm referring to... back in 2004, the board had to get involved and make sure that the billing was fixed because the hospital was losing money because of the accounts receivable were through the roof, and we had to get a grasp of that. Nowadays, the board had to get involved because Dan stepped down, and the board basically had to come in and determine who the interim leadership was. So that's mainly what I'm referring to.
Anything else you'd like to add in that we haven't covered?
You know, I would just tell you guys that I would definitely explore why people are the qualifications for the board. And, I would say, other than Dr. Nagel, that I think I'm one of two candidates who has the qualifications to serve on the board. Not only have I served on the board in the past, but I also am currently involved in committees. Some of the other people running for the board either have no experience or they're not actively involved. And so I'd encourage you to explore that. You know, for the last 17 years, I've always been involved on hospital boards and medical staff boards, board committees. I served on the Hospital Quality Committee, the Medical Staff Development Committee, and chaired the Hospital Purity Committee. And currently, I'm on the Trauma Emergency Department, ICU, and Medical Executive Committees. And I think all these things give me the opportunity to have my finger on the pulse of the hospital that none of the other candidates have. And, of course, my board experience, I think, really separates me from the rest of the field, because it's so important right now, especially in this time of transition for the hospital, that somebody can step in who's been there before, who knows what's going on, who understands the thing, and can just keep moving forward and not have to spend a lot of his time getting up to speed. I guess the only thing I'd want the voters to know is that, you know, I'm obviously a physician at the hospital, but I'm also an invested member in this community. My family's actively involved in the schools, and we're involved extracurricularly in sports, and I'm the local Cub Scout leader. Through these interactions, I've had the opportunity to talk with a lot of people living here, and I like to think that I understand patients' needs of our community and their expectations for wanting to have excellent health care locally. And I want the people to know that I bring the experience and the knowledge necessary to serve as their elected official to the board. And ultimately, if I'm elected, I will bring great enthusiasm and experience and expertise to all the issues that affect our hospital, all with the eye towards how to best serve our patients and let them know that they have a voice in how our community hospital is managed. And I hope that I can count on their support.